Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These listeners have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Reformation Club benefits include shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for confessional Lutheran churches. Learn more about joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club on the Support Donate page at IssuesETC.org. And look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Lynn 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Well, if it's all that you have known, even if it is from the outside looking in, very odd. The teachings of Mormonism are strange, but remember, they don't seem strange to Mormons. And if it's all you've ever known and you have never really heard the gospel, that is, that your sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross, that Jesus isn't a minor figure in true Christianity, but the figure of true Christianity, and that payment at the cross means that you can be certain of eternal life now, not uncertain, as so many Mormons are, working their way toward the celestial kingdom. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's day three of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Today, we'll hear a story of going from Mormonism to Lutheranism. Susan Hatcher joins us. She was a Mormon for more than 20 years, and she's a member of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Freedom, Wisconsin. Susan, welcome.
Thank you.
Talk about what it was like growing up as a Mormon.
When you're a kid, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of activities. All your friends are there. You have a really good time. And then when you get a little bit older, you start to learn more about what the church is really about. The indoctrination starts when you're very young. There's a song that they call, it's called I'm a Child of God. And the verses are like, I'm a child of God, and he's sent me here. He's given me an earthly home with parents kind and dear. Lead me, guide me, walk beside me. Help me find the way. Help me learn what I must do to live with you someday. And so that's where it all begins. At a very young age, you start to learn that you must earn your way to heaven, that it's not a gift.
So more particularly, what were you taught as a Mormon about salvation? How are you supposed to earn it?
Well, the word salvation is not used very much in the Mormon church. We don't talk about it a lot, but basically what I came to understand was you can't be saved while you're still sinning, and you're always sinning as a human being. And so it's this constant battle that, you know, it's like, okay, I sinned today, now I have to stop sinning. I can't do that anymore, because if I do that again, then I'm not going to be, you know, I can't be saved. And it's just this constant battle that until you die, you're going to keep sinning. And so how am I supposed to make it to heaven if I can't stop sinning? So basically the attitude is that when you die, if you've been a good Mormon, that if you've been what they call faithful to the end, that salvation is possible when you die.
What was the attraction of Mormon teaching?
There's a lot of things in the Mormon church that are kind of attractive, that the only people who go to hell are murderers and then what they call the sons and daughters of perdition, which I would be one of them, and that's people who deny the church and leave the church. But otherwise, you can earn your way to one level of heaven. They have three levels of heaven, and so there's a terrestrial, telestial, and celestial, with terrestrial being the lowest and celestial being the highest. And so you can earn your way to one of those heavens no matter what you've done, but you won't go to hell. So that's pretty impressive. And then they have very strong family values, and you're eternally connected to your family as long as everybody's good Mormons. When everybody dies, we'll all be together in heaven. And then they're very moral, high moral standards, and so and that's pretty attractive. Everybody's trying to be their best.
So how are you taught to regard Joseph Smith?
He was the founder of the church, and it's not like you worship him, but he was very important in your life. He was mentioned frequently during church services, and you always go back to Joseph Smith for the story of the founding of the church.
You hinted at this a moment ago, but you say that you lived in fear of God as a Mormon. Why?
Well, because I knew I wasn't good enough. And you picture God as this angry God, you know, because you kind of relate him to your earthly father, like you've done something wrong, now you're in trouble for it. And so I never, ever thought of God as being a kind and gentle person who wanted me to be with him. I always thought of him as somebody that was looking for all the things I did wrong and was going to condemn me to hell if I didn't straighten out.
What did you think of Christians as a Mormon?
I mean, you don't have bad thoughts about them. You feel, basically, you kind of feel sorry for them, like, oh, well, gee, you know, they don't believe the right things, and they're never going to make it to heaven. When I was a kid, we had Christians that lived across the street from us, and I just remember my dad always telling me, well, they can be your friends, but you know, they don't believe the right things, so don't get swayed by their beliefs, because they were Baptists and they wanted to share their faith, but it was like, nope, we can't listen to that.
Talk about the kind of doubts that Mormon teaching raised for you.
Oh, it makes you question almost everything that you do in your day. And as you're growing up in life, you know, the choices that you make, the career paths that you want to take, the school that you want to go to. Do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? It influences everything that you're going to do in life, and it makes you feel very inadequate that you're not going to be able to accomplish the things, or maybe what you want to do doesn't agree with what the church wants you to do. And so there again, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing what the church wants me to do, so here's another sin that I'm supposed to get rid of, but I can't get rid of it because I don't want to do what the church wants me to do.
How did you begin to drift away from Mormonism?
Well, I probably started thinking that I didn't like the Mormon church in my teenage years when more pressure was put on me to be a better Mormon, but I really didn't drift away from the Mormon church until I went in the Air Force, when I didn't have Mormons there as part of my everyday life. There were some Mormons there, and the Mormon church does follow you every place you go. And so I always had home teachers contacting me, missionaries contacting me, but I wasn't going to church. It was easy to start to forget about some of the things that the church would indoctrinate you with.
After leaving Mormonism, what kind of spirituality, if any, did you practice?
I didn't practice any. I never went to another Mormon church after about, I was in my, I'd say my late 20s. I tried to go back to the church one time, and I was just so devastated when I went there, and the guilt was just unbelievable. And so from then, I never went to another church. I didn't even think about going to church for probably another 20 years.
If you would, talk about the efforts that Mormons made to get you to come back.
Well, first of all, I have my family who are Mormons, and they would talk to me about it. My mother had been raised in the Baptist church, but she had converted to Mormonism kind of to keep my dad happy. So she didn't put a lot of pressure on me, but there was a lot of pressure from my father. He was a second counselor to the bishop. And so there was a lot of pressure from the family to get back into the church, do the things that the church wants you to do, get married, have children, be a good Mormon wife, and that sort of thing. And I just, that would come from my father. My brothers kind of would put a little pressure on me. My sister, who was kind of off and on with the church, she didn't say too much to me. Friends, though, my friends pretty much abandoned me. And so that pressure there to, like, try to, you want to reconnect with your friends, but in a way you don't want to reconnect. So, and then you have the family home teachers who come to talk to you. And when they would come to talk to you, it really is about you are not doing the right things to go to heaven. You need to get back in line so that with the church so that you can make it to heaven.
During that time where you were kind of nothing and you were being pressured on several fronts to return to Mormonism, what did you think of God? Did you retain any vestiges of your Mormon beliefs, or did you just think it was all nonsense?
I always knew that there God was there, and I wanted God in my life. I knew I needed God in my life, but the only God I knew was the Mormon God, and that's not a loving feeling. That's a stressful feeling that you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that the guilt is just, I can't even begin to describe the guilt that you feel when you know that the only God that you believe in is a God who's a very angry God because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So it's hard. I knew I wanted God in my life, but I didn't know where to look. You know, I didn't understand the true God instead of the Mormon God.
What belief in Jesus, what about Jesus did the vestiges of your Mormonism leave you with during that time?
Well, in the Mormon church, I mean, it's called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but Jesus isn't like the most important person in the church or in the, well, they don't even believe in the Trinity, but it's like Jesus died for your sins, but you got to pay him back now. And so they don't talk about him much. It's more about God and God being in control and, you know, working your way, especially if you're male, working your way to becoming a God. It really, Jesus didn't really enter into my life that much. You know, we talked about him, but he wasn't as important as God was.
Susan Hatcher is our guest. Day 3 of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're talking about her journey from Mormonism to Lutheranism. How was she first drawn to the Lutheran faith? We'll answer that question next. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Have you ever picked up a copy of the Book of Concord and been overwhelmed by it? There's a whole bunch of difficult names and documents and apologies and formula of concords and epitomes and solid declarations. And before you know it, you don't even know where you are in the book. Well, if you've had this question, you'll be interested in picking up the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, your reader's guide to the Book of Concord. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or learn more on the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with Jesus' authority challenged, parable of the tenants paying taxes to Caesar, on the resurrection, and the great commandment. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12. And is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Reformation Day is Sunday, and you can help us educate a new generation of Lutherans by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's a group of faithful listeners who pledge to support this worldwide outreach monthly or annually. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the support donate page at issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's day 3 of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're talking about Susan Hatcher's journey from Mormonism to Lutheranism. Susan, how were you drawn to the Lutheran faith?
Well, a friend invited me to a Lutheran church, and that was the first time that I ever, like, heard about mercy and grace. That's just not something that you hear in the Mormon church, at least mercy and grace being given to you freely instead of having to earn it. And I was just, when I heard that for the first time, I was just like amazed that, can this really be possible? That God loves you, which that was always something I always wondered about, but that God loves you and Jesus died for you. And all of this is given to you freely. And I was just amazed that was possible. And so I just wanted to learn more. And so I went through the Bible information classes, and it's just incredible that the difference between what I had known and what I learned.
So what has happened to your relationships with Mormon family members after becoming a Lutheran?
Well, when I was baptized, my father refused to talk to me. My father died without ever talking to me again. Sorry. My mom was fine with it. My mom, I think, actually, my parents eventually divorced, and my mom never went back to the Mormon church after that. So my mom was fine with that. I had a kind of a strained relationship with my brothers for a while. But then after my father died, my relationship with them completely changed. We were brothers and sisters again. And my youngest brother actually went through the Bible information classes. And He died from a stroke before he was baptized. I'm sorry.
So there's been considerable sacrifice in this move. This wasn't something that was without an enormous amount of pain for you.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. It takes a long time. It's a long journey. I mean, even when a friend who had given me some booklets to read called Daily Bread, and that kind of started me on my search for a church, but it was at least 3 years before I even wanted to step into a church. And it's not an easy journey. The guilt and the fear that you have of leaving the Mormon Church really, really plays into everything that you do. And so you're told if you leave the Mormon Church, when you die, you go to hell. There's no chance of you ever going to heaven, you know. And so that's always in the back of your mind when you're trying to leave the church. And the fact that your family can entirely disown you. I'm lucky that my mother stuck with me and that I was able to reestablish my relationship with my brothers. And I haven't reestablished it with my sister. But it's hard. It's a long journey. It's not something that you just wake up one day and go, oh, I want to do this. It's a long journey, and I can't describe to you what it's like for your family to just say, you're not part of us anymore. It's a horrible feeling, and so they make it difficult for you to leave.
Do you think a lot of people who may have the same kind of daily guilt, the same kind of doubts about Mormonism, stay for that very reason?
Yes, I absolutely believe that. I know that, especially when, like, as an older adult, if you have children, the possibility that your children might never talk to you again. It's if you are an adult and you decide to leave the church and you're married, you know that you're going to end up divorced. And then, you know, of course, in the Mormon church, getting a divorce is like a major problem. So, yes, I believe that many, many people who would, if they could actually hear the truth and wanted to leave, would be very torn because of losing your family like that.
What did you find in Lutheranism that was missing in Mormonism?
That God loves me. That no matter how bad of a day I have of not being a good person, that he's not going to turn his back on me. That Jesus would die on the cross for somebody like me. It's amazing. It's such a total difference from what I grew up with. It's incredible. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but it's such an amazing thing.
Tell us about being baptized into the Christian faith.
Hopefully I can get through this without crying too much. I can't tell you how wonderful it felt to be baptized. That, you know, they talk about the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's it. It's so wonderful. I don't know how to describe it. It's just so perfect, you know, to know that now you are saved, and that you didn't, you know, that Jesus did all the work for you. And it's just, it's amazing. I don't know how else to describe it.
What would you like to say to a Mormon who may be listening to us right now?
Let go of the fears that you have, that if you listen and that you will know that God loves you, that he's not waiting there to condemn you, that he loves you, that Jesus died for you, and that all the things that you have been made to feel guilty for just because you decided to drink a cup of coffee or a Coke or something like that, that God's not mad at you for something like that, and that Jesus died for your sins and that he loves you.
Susan Hatcher was a Mormon for more than 20 years. She's a member of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Freedom, Wisconsin. Susan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues on Wednesday. We'll talk with Lyman Stone about his journey from Methodism to Lutheranism. We'll discuss the failure of evangelical elites with Dr. Carl Truman. And Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will lead us in a teaching on what I wish my non-Lutheran family knew about good works. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.